Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Parikshit Maharaj cursed by a Brahmin boy. Please repeat. Tat. No. Naha. Bhava. Vai. Bhagavat. Padaha. Mahatama. Ekanta. Parayasya. Hare. Udar. Charita. Shudam, Shushushatam, Naha, Vidnotu, Vidvan. Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Padano. Mahatamai Kanta Parayana. Hare Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. Shushushatam No Vitano Tu Vidvan. Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Padano. Tamai Kanta Parayanasya. Hare Udharam Charitam Vishuddham. Sushushatam No Vidano Tu Vidvan. Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Padano. Mahatamai Kanta Parayanasya. Hare Udharam Charitam Vishuddham. Shushushatam No Vidano Tu Vidvan. Mahatamai Kanta Parayanasya. Hare Daram Charitam Vishuddham. Shushushatam No Vidano Tu Vidvan. Tat. Therefore, Naha, of us, Bhavan, your good self, Vai, certainly, Bhagavat, in relation with the personality of Godhead, Pradanaha, chiefly, Mahattama, the greatest of all greats, Ekanta, exclusively, Parayanasya, of the shelter. Harehe, of the Lord. Udara, impartial. Charitam, activities. Vishuddham, transcendental. Shushushatam, those who are receptive. Naha, ourselves. Vittanotu, kindly describe. Vidvan, O learned one. Translation and purport of the Prabhupada. O Sudha Goswami, you are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord because the personality of Godhead is your chief object of service. Therefore, please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord, which are above all material conception, for we are anxious to receive such messages.
Purport. The speaker on the transcendental activities of the Lord should have only one object of worship and service, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the audience for such topics should be anxious to hear about him. When such a combination is possible, namely a qualified speaker and a qualified audience, it is then and there very much congenial to continue the discourses on the transcendence. Professional speakers and a materially absorbed audience cannot derive real benefit from such discourses. Professional speakers make a show of Bhagavad Saptaha. If you know what Bhagavad Saptaha is, maybe you've heard of this word. Who knows what Bhagavad Saptaha is? Surely they have them here in Melbourne somewhere. Yes.
7 days.
Yeah, they have these programs. Now you can say that Parikshit Maharaj was also engaged with Shukadeva Goswami in Bhagavad Saptaha 7 days, but that was specific because that's what he was given, 7 days' notice. 7 days' notice, so he had to do it all in 7 days. But sometimes people imitate this without any real benefit, and sometimes it's a profession, so they have, maybe Prabhupada says here, I don't know. Anyway, we'll finish the purport, and then we'll go back. Such discourses, professional speakers make a show of Bhagavad Saptaha for the sake of family maintenance, and the materially disposed audience hears such discourses of Bhagavad Saptaha for some material benefit, namely religiosity, wealth, gratification of the senses, or liberation. Such Bhagavatam discourses are not purified from the contamination of the material qualities, but the discourses between the saints of Naimisharanya and Sri Śrīla Gosvāmī are on the transcendental level. There is no motive for material gain. In such discourses, unlimited transcendental pleasure is relished, both by the audience and by the speaker, and therefore they can continue the topics for many thousands of years. Now, Bhagavad Saptahas are held for 7 days only, and after finishing the show, both the audience and the speaker become engaged in material activity as usual. They can do so because the speaker is not Bhagavad Saptahas. Bhagavat Padana, and the audience is not Sushushitam, as explained above. These two words are very important. Sushushitam means very receptive. Well, maybe it will be something from the first chapter in this regards in a minute. See. And the other word, Bhagavat Padana, which is the in relationship with the Personality of Godhead. As Prabhupada mentions here, there, the speaker has to be a kanta, has to be engaged, a kanta, a kanta bhakti, one-pointed. A kanta is like one-pointed, not with another motivation. The motivation of speaking Bhagavatam is not to make economic arrangements for one's maintenance of oneself or family, which in the case of professional reciters, it's a job. It's not exactly out of love for Krishna they're doing it. It's a job. They're very good at it. They can speak nicely. My brother was an agnostic, probably still alive, and he's cut off, I don't know where he is. But he was an agnostic, and last time I saw him, he told me that he just retired, but he was an accountant, and he was He would go out playing golf with a local vicar, local priest in the church. They would go out together playing golf and drinking on Sundays together after the service. So the vicar and the priest said to him, asked him if he could help with the accounts for the church, because they were it's a bit of a mess. So my brother said, "Of course, if you want me to, no problem. But you know me, I don't believe in God." And the priest said to him, "Oh, don't worry about that. I don't know if I believe in him either." He actually said, it's a good job, I don't have to do much, get a good wage. You know, comfortable life, you know, get a good wage. Take it easy. So it's a job, you know. Of course not the whole life. As soon as you get paid, you're compromised. I know Kali Yuga is a difficult number because people aren't, you know, we said that the two sides are not there. The society is not maintaining the Brahmins or the priests and the preachers, at least not, let's say, by arrangement. So it's a difficult one, but in Vedic times, the speaker of the Bhagavatam would only speak because he wants to glorify Krishna. He's not speaking. Like Shivadeva Goswami didn't say to Prakshit Maharaj, okay Prakshit, how much are you going to pay me for this? I'll speak to you, but how much are you going to give me? There's no question of that. No question. Sometimes it's there. Sometimes the boys also say, well, I'll do this service, how much are you going to pay me? What's in it for me? It's a common statement nowadays. Hear it, if not money is something else, but the boys often say, well, what's in this for me? What am I going to get out of this? Sometimes the boys, I worked so hard for ISKCON, what have I got out of it? Sometimes we hear these statements. It's not exactly the right mentality to receive Krishna consciousness. So Shushushadana. Everyone has to be receptive of Shushushadana. One who is very receptive to hear. We know the goal of life. We're not here for liberation. We want to speak of economic development, dharma, or sense gratification, a form of religiosity, so on. That's not our purpose to be here. Maybe in the beginning that tends to be one of the purposes, but it shouldn't be. We should understand that's not the goal of devotional service, to gain liberation or material returns. They may come, Vasudevi Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Priyojita, Janajaka, Vairagyam. What's the last one? Jnanamcha Yadahaitakam. It may come, but that's not the purpose of devotional service automatically. Knowledge and renunciation may come as a result of unannoyed or fixed ekanta bhakta, fixed devotional service, ananya bhakti, for Vasudeva, Krishna. Those things may come, but that's not the goal. They're byproducts. The real goal is to love Krishna. They do it for Krishna. They don't do it for money. It's like in a relationship with husband and wife. The husband, you know, you don't. It's not like the wife will say, "How much are you going to pay me if I cook your lunch today?" Okay, how much are you going to pay me if I change the baby's napkins? Okay, $2 per change. Okay. Or washing your clothes. Okay, and here's your bill, husband, for this week's laundry. Here's the laundry bill. I washed 3 shirts, 2 pants, 1 coat, 2 ties. Here we go, there's the bill. I mean, it may get to that sometimes, but that's not how it should be. It should be automatic. The wife should want to, Should want to cook for the husband. Should be. She should want to do his laundry. Vice versa, in this age, maybe the husband does the laundry and the washing, changes the napkins and cooks for the wife. I don't know, it's sometimes different in this day and age, but traditionally it was like that. It wasn't a business arrangement. Now they have their contract, it's a business arrangement, so it's not the same. In normal circumstances, that's not the arrangement. Any loving relationship is not like that. You do it out of love, you don't do it for money. What am I going to get out of it? I'll be your friend, but what are you going to give me in return? How much are you going to pay me? Or what are you going to give me in return? But unfortunately it's become probably more like that now than before. It's kind of always this mood, and even in Krishna consciousness, moving in ISKCON, is element of that sometimes. What's in it for me? And we're not talking about the spiritual, not on the transcendental spiritual platform exactly, but on the platform of here and now, material concerns of various kinds oftentimes play an important role. So similarly with these Bhagavad, these professional speakers, generally speak according to the audience, and sometimes if there were persons who were Mayavadis, they'll speak Mayavad. And when they were the Vaishnavas, they'll speak so-called Bhakti. And when they were with the Shaivites, they'll speak all about Lord Shiva and so on. And they're just basically entertainers, professional comedians or entertainers. According to the audience, they put on a good performance, get some reciprocation, get some support, get some returns. And the audience is also, you know, similarly, you could say, motivated. Their idea is to get some material benefits out of all of this, or most to get liberation. They feel good that they're doing something so-called religious or pious. So they have these 7-day Bhagavad Saptahas, and after 7 days, as Prabhupada mentions, everything is back to normal. Basically, the professional speaker moves on to the next venue, the next match, and the audience goes home, turns on the TV, and lights up the cigarette, whatever they do, and gets back to life again. Like in Malaysia, they have this, some of you may have seen, the Thai Busan Festival, very famous, seven, but more than that, it happens in 6 or 7 places around Malaysia. But the big one is over about 750,000 Indian people gather for this Thai Busan Festival, and thousands of them, including Australians, undergo this, what they call kavadi. It's a various kind of, you can say, sacrifice in the mode of ignorance, without a doubt. They put these spears through their cheeks, one side through their tongue. Big spears, isn't it? 5-6 foot long, and a smaller one through their tongues. Some of them put hooks on their back. They pull. They have the hooks. They're pulling chariots, or there's people pulling the opposite way as they're struggling to move along on these chains. Sometimes they shoot bows and arrows in all the different directions, and they hang lemons on hooks all over their bodies. They do, you know, very, very spiritual, very wonderful things like this. We're proposing to the GBC meeting next year that we introduce it within ISKCON. It might pass, yeah. Sure. Gonna try something to help them advance. Anyway, they do these things, and they do undergo some tapasya before that also. They have to be vegetarian, depending on the state, on what level they're on. Vegetarian for so long, they can't to stop drinking and smoking for some period of time, no illicit sex. They do follow, various, from one to the next, depending on the vow, the 4 regulated principles for some period of time. And they're always doing it for material reasons. Well, it's all to get some material returns. Maybe in some, I've never met one, but there may be some amongst them who are thinking about liberation, but I've never met one yet. But there may be. But it's all with material returns, you know, to get a good job or to pass your exams or just for show, I can do it type of thing. Different things, they walk on fire and all this stuff. All different sorts of things. Predominantly, and then on top of their head they have this, what's called kavadi. The kavadi is actually like a temple, which, you know, it's like a huge thing. So it depends again on what level of the, they come in order, you know, they will, as the last climax, the last like 50 or 100, and they have to go up like 400 steps with all this on them up to the temple of Murugam, Kartikeya, and then they do a big like dance in front of the deities. It's a big austerity in one sense, and wouldn't recommend it. Better to do Sankirtan, it's not so bad as that. But they do these things, and these huge things in there. And they got all these people around them beating on drums like jumbays and things. Veel, 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 veel. They're going like this. This is the symbol of the instrument, the weapon of Murugam or Kartikeya. It's like an arrow. And anyway, they're in some kind of euphoric trance, possessed. They consider they're possessed by the deity, but type of lifestyle these people lead, it's unlikely. It's more likely to be ghosts. But anyway, whatever it is, they're in this state for some time. They don't feel any pain. And they bounce around, dance around like madmen with all these other people jumping around, and beating on drums. Then they go up the hill, 400 steps. They may have come 5, 6, 8 kilometers to reach that place through the streets in their own temples, their own village. And they go up the stairs and then do their thing in front of the day with this huge, like, almost like a framework temple with deity in the middle on their heads. And then after that, then somebody, they sit down after they've done their thing. Then someone takes it all off of them and unscrews everything, unplugs everything, unhooks everything. And they've got, the next thing is they've got this huge, just a huge stand with liquor and cigarettes available. And almost all of them just dive into the cigarettes and liquor after all of this. So, you know, it's not, doesn't seem like they've attained much benefit spiritually at all, none at all, absolutely zero. But they feel good and they hope that they can get their material returns from all of this. But it's not spiritual. So it's no real value at all. It's Shrama Ethi Kevam. This is what people think. And unfortunately most people, when it comes down, yes Mahatma.
I wanted to know something about Akshaya Tritiya and Chandanyatra,
please. Oh yes, last day of Chandanyatra today. Okay, we'll talk about that later. I don't know if I can remember much about these things, but we'll see. So this is the case. People are so much absorbed in material things, and Prabhupada says it's like the cheats and the cheated. You get what you want to be cheated, then Krishna arranges it. People want material returns, they'll send someone along who's got that motivation. Unfortunate as it is, but that's how the material works. We may say we're being exploited, we're being cheated, but we can't blame anyone else. We get what we ask for, really, in this world. So we're, and people have an interest, hardly an interest, in hearing from the pure devotees of the Lord. The pure devotees of the Lord are not entertainers. Bhakti Siddhanta said that sadhu is like one who stands there with as like in a sacrificial arena where they are sacrificing goats. I don't know if you have seen this, but in Malaysia this is also very common. Goat sacrifice, many temples, that's the main activity. They're just there chopping the goats. And the guy stands and chop. And he said the sadhu is like that, that he stands there with the axe of sharp words to cut out the nonsense. But as soon as people start speaking sharp words, then they're not interested. They don't want that. They want to be entertained. They like to hear, but they don't get any much benefit hearing from a professional speaker on Krishna Lila. They usually go straight to the 10th canto. They don't even go through the other cantos. So neither the audience is qualified to hear, neither the speaker is qualified to speak. So this practice, like Prabhupada gives the example of, if you want to have a child, then both husband and wife have to be qualified. Husband has to be potent, the wife has to be fertile. At the right time, everything has to be there. And still, it depends on the Lord also. But those two preliminary requirements are there, potency and fertility are required. And in the case of spiritual, let's say the conception of Krishna consciousness or bhakti within the heart, the speaker has to be qualified and the hearer has to be qualified too. Both have to be there. So some of that's mentioned here, the eligibility of the speaker, and that's beginning. Parikshit Maharaj mentions this in the 10th canto, right at the beginning of the 10th canto, before Sukadeva Goswami begins speaking in the 10th canto. Parikshit Maharaj qualifies the subject matter. And if you bring the 10th canto, part 1, please, let's read something. 10th canto, part 1. Parikshit Maharaj there, he qualifies this point, the eligibility of the speaker, and also, of course, the hearer. Thank you. The very important verses here. So this is basically the first verse. In fact, when Prabhupada writes his Krishna book, he puts this verse at the beginning of the Krishna book, because it's the beginning of the subject matter. It's the foundation, really, for hearing Krishna Katan. The Tatashri Vakimananda Vositi Chotamano Vihana Uttamashloka Gunana Madhana Pumavidra Jeta Vinapashubhanamata. The translation is glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system, not just anybody, but the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those who are no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. As we heard yesterday, satamba sangamma mavirya sambhido bhavanti vidkara usayana kataha. But this subject matter is relished amongst devotees, those who are actually devotees, not those who have material motivations. It's the nature of everyone to relish this topic. This is that we may relish material subject matters temporarily. Some taste is there. The taste of spiritual life is there also, but it's covered over because we're mixed. We don't have much of a taste for hearing transcendental spiritual subjects. But those who are actually not interested in this material world, it's like in many of the songs, Lochandas Thakur. Pishaya charya se rasi majiha mukti bolo hori hori. Those who are Vishaya charya, those who are no longer interested in this material world, can actually chant the holy name of Krishna. Of course, we chant the holy name of Krishna, but that's just another byproduct, is that we become disinterested. But to actually chant the holy name, to actually relish the holy name, one has to be Vishaya-charya, one has to be Krishna, one has to be freed of this desire to enjoy the material world. One has to be free of that. Otherwise one cannot really, it's a mixed taste, it's not the real taste, not the real taste at all. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of the cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? So when they say a butcher, doesn't this mean somebody who works in the butcher shop? But literally everybody who's in this mood of, let's say, causing violence to other entities, or one who denies their own spiritual identity, identifies with the body. So practically means everyone, almost everybody. Almost. Hardly anyone's interested to hear this topic, Tuna Krishna. Adanta Gopi, they're all Adanta Gopi, sense enjoyers. Or the Griha Gata, they're identifying with the body and the self. They have hardly waste. Even they go to the holy places. Yashyatma Buddhya Kunapetutarati. Sadiyika Trashubhomajiji. Even they go to these holy places. But they only go there to take a bath, to get freed of reactions from material activity, or to do some pious act, give a donation. But they don't go there to hear from the right source, Janesha Vigesh. And that's, they're really no different than animals. So how can they have an interest in material Krishna Bhagatakshvatova? No interest in hearing the topics of Krishna consciousness, not really. They may be up to a point, but as soon as something happened, oh, I'm not interested. Just like when Prabhupada was in, I think it was Gorkhpur or somewhere like that in North India, he was giving some seminar, not seminar, some lecture, and Prabhupada was talking very strongly. And one lady objected, said, Swamiji, I have heard many sadhus speak, but I've never heard anyone speak like you. Sadhus all speak so nicely, but you're speaking such harsh words. Right? It's just, it doesn't seem that there's something, there's not, she was indicating this was not good for a sadhu to speak like this. So her problem then implied that your idea of let's say, of a sadhu and, you know, of being kind and so on, is like this. But you have, imagine, you have a boil on your arm. And the doctor comes along and says, okay, just hold on. He simply blows on the boil. I think, oh, thank you, doctor, that was very nice. That was really nice. That was a very nice feeling, thank you. You give the doctor some money and he goes away. And then the real doctor comes along and says, hold on. And he goes, what are you doing with that knife? Hold on, just hold on. Don't you? No, no, no! Father said, if you really have mercy on the person, you take a knife and you slash it out, Father said. The woman almost jumped out of her body. But it's a sadhu, it's not, he doesn't just sit by and I blow on you. Everything is okay. But he cuts it out. People don't like that. As soon as that happens, then off they go. And we're the same, almost. Someone gets a bit too much for us, you know, off we go. Don't, you know, don't get into that. Mind your own business. They don't like to have an artist cut out sometimes. Not very keen on it. But people in general are not eager to hear this message because they're a dantagopi or griyabhata. They're attached to this body of being the self. They kind of have to have a little bit of eligibility in a sense to hear this and to really hear. Otherwise it might be materially entertaining, it might not be. But that's not the point. This is relished on the spiritual platform. And if we're thinking about this body, then we can't really relish it. First thing is to, a little bit is where Bhagavad Gita doesn't discuss Krishna Leela. You don't find any mention of the gopis in the Bhagavad Gita, I think, do you? Are the gopis mentioned there? In Bhagavad Gita? Is Radharani mentioned? Are the coward boys mentioned? Cows are mentioned? No, I don't think so. Any of these things are mentioned, not in the verses. Maybe indicated for those who are pure devotees, they see presence of Radha and all the devotees there behind it, but not on the surface. People don't see that. It's just to prepare people so that we can actually become eligible to hear the topics of Krishna Bhagavat Katha. But people aren't ready for it. And people make a show of it because it sounds nice, stories, and so nice, flowery ways. But they're not ready. They can't digest it properly. They can't digest it properly. Got to be, both the food has to be prepared properly and it has to be digestible. So neither is being properly presented. Being presented according to the needs of the people. It's like, you know, people want to eat meat, you feed them meat. Is that charity? Just like in Bangladesh. You know, when there's, maybe I don't know, things have changed, but in the old days when there was some big disaster, like a, you know, some kind of cyclone or something, hundreds of thousands of people dying, or there's some famine or something. And what do? They send them all this processed meat and so many different things. And the fact is, most of the people died from that, not from the actual disaster, because they'd never eaten all this stuff before. And it's all business. They keep the stuff out there. They don't even bring it in. The government doesn't let it in half the time because it'll reduce the price of the local stuff, which they're only providing in small supply so that they can increase the profit which they make from it. And so on. It's all, yeah, money. But this isn't really helping people. To feed a person meat and cigarettes and smoke and drink and things is not really helping, because it's continuing the disease, continuing the same disease. You're okay, pat on the head, blessings, carry on, I hope your son passes his exams and becomes a first class garmi, blessings upon you. It's not really helping anyone. It's to remove this from the cause of the disease, which is our bodily identification, and beyond that our enviousness of Krishna, of course. But at least the beginning stage to understand the real purpose of knowledge is to understand that we're not this body. That knowledge is hardly given, very rare. And so such people, they're not interested in hearing. It doesn't mean anything. You imagine someone picking up Srimad Bhagavatam, and even reading today's verse, the guy's just come out of the pub, or out of the footy match or something, and he's reading Bhagavatam. Do you think he will understand? Does it make any sense? Does it make any sense? O Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, the king of birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyas, Srila Shukadeva. Do you think that would make any meaning to a normal guy on the street? Huh?
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. What the hell is this? What the hell is this? What is all this stuff? Ain't for me, boy. No, it means nothing. Even to us, we have no interest, practically. Fall asleep as soon as we open the book, practically. Yes. But people have to be prepared. Prabhupada said in a conversation with Dayananda Maharaj, with Mahapati and others, that, you know, I think it was Mahapati was saying, Prabhupada, is it philosophy first or what? Prabhupada said, no, it's not philosophy first, that comes later. First you have to prepare, you have to give holy name and prasadam, he said. They're not ready. They're not ready, and we're hardly ready, therefore we have so much service. Simultaneously, we're trying to get ready, but so much service is required also to purify us, so that we can, as we heard yesterday, so that we can develop that taste or traction over here. We're too stuffed up, we're too blocked up with all kinds of concepts and material and artas and what have you. We're too. So, you know, a person who's got an artas and is preaching and people listening, it's hardly that you can get free of an artas by hearing from such a person. No way. We have to hear, as this verse said, Nivitatar Shir. Both the hearer and the speaker have to be nivitat, released from material activity, lust. Not so the activity, but lust. Released from lust. The desire to enjoy the material. It's not the material itself, it's the desire to enjoy it, which we have to be free of. And then only it can have an actual effect, a change of heart, a changing effect. And the next verse is a long purport, one of the purport, not that long, but a very important purport. The next verse is, let's skip that. And the same questions actually Parikshit Maharaj is asking here about the pastimes of the Lord. He's asking, why did Krishna, Supreme Lord, leave his house, Vasudeva? He's very eager to hear. Very much he wants to hear. If we get the second canto of Bhagavatam, so this eagerness to hear, eagerness to speak, both have to be there. And not for material reasons. It's because one wants to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's one's business with devotees. Always eager to glorify the Personality of Godhead. So right at the beginning of the second canto, we see Krishna Maharaj has made these inquiries at the end of the first canto. What did he ask?
Akshaya Tritiya.
Parikshit Maharaj asked that question. Amazing. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't read that. Amazing. You were there, you must have been there. But I didn't read that in the Bhagavatam. We'll write some more of the Bhagavatam today. Tell us what we don't know, you know. Unknown truths of Bhagavatam. What did Parikshit Maharaj ask?
What should we hear?
Yes, at the time of death. What is the duty of a man about to death? What should we hear? At time of death, what should we hear, chant? What should we be doing? And this second canto now is beginning to explain that. So Gurudeva Goswami said, my dear king, your question is glorious. The question is glorious. Vahiyan eshate vrishna krito loka hitam nipa atmavit samatak pungsam Shoti Vyadishu Yogpuraha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing and is approved by all the transcendentalists. Those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor." Describe some of those subject matters. Persons devoid of atma-tattva, spiritual knowledge, do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all misery must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller and the savior from all miseries. And then he goes on, the famous Antanarayana Smriti, that the goal of all of our work is to remember Krishna at the time of death. So that's supposed to be the point, but that's not the point of the professional speakers or those who have another idea about what their goal, another motivation. But the devotees, they're all that interested in is to help people to perfect their lives so we can remember Krishna at the time of death. Because by remembering Krishna at the time of death, one can go to Krishna. So everything that pure devotees give us is to help, to prepare us, to help, to say, make us ready, prepare us so that at the time of death we can remember Krishna. This is their purpose. So we see the sages of Naimisharanya. In the beginning of the first canto, they're asking these wonderful questions. Questions by the sages, and then Sita Goswami begins to answer all their questions in the second chapter. In the first chapter we see, in the second verse of the first chapter, as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. Important verses, these first two verses. So then these sages, they were approaching Suta Goswami. First they say, "You are completely freed of all vice. You are well versed in the scripture and famous for religious life and in the Puranas and the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them." Well versed in the scripture. And then they said, "Because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Please therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. There are many varieties of scriptures. All of them, there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study. Therefore, O great sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and select, explain it for the good of all living entities, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully satisfied. All blessings upon you, O Suta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of God had appeared in the womb of Devaki, the son of Vasudeva. O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of God in his incarnations. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, for one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them." It is states later on in the 10th canto that the proper speaking of Bhagavad Gita, Hari Gita, Krishna Gita, purifies the speaker, the hearer and the audience also. Everyone benefits. The proper actually speaking of this subject matter from the right source. "Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. We heard about Ajamila the other day. O Suta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the water of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. That would have been a good verse yesterday, the day before yesterday, when we were talking about the effects of association. That they those who have actually completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, prashamaya, prashamayana, absorbed in devotion to the Supreme Lord. If one, they can sanctify or purify anyone who comes in touch with them. Whereas the Ganges is after prolonged use. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? Who is that person? We've already heard who that person is. Those were Atmaha, and the Upanishad describes them, Atmaha, killers of the self. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please therefore speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. His eagerness. O wise Suta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by his internal potencies. And here's a very nice verse, relevant yesterday especially. There's been a relevant verse yesterday. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. They relish every moment. Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked he performed many superhuman acts. Knowing well the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, this way perform sacrifice. We think we have met your grace by the will of, met your goodness rather, by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Since Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystics, mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom religious principles have now gone for shelter. So they have established the qualification of the speaker. And the next chapter 2, Siddha Goswami then qualifies them. I would say this, Muni was to the Krishna Humba Vibhya Lokamangha, Yatkuta Krishna Samvashna Yenatma Supersedity. I would say this, I've been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Subject matter of questioning, hearing and speaking, Krishna consciousness, the eligibility, that which is to be spoken, what is relevant, and so on. We're in that fortunate position that Srila Prabhupada, the captain of airship, is giving us a chance to hear this. Like the Krishna book, Prabhupada say, don't, you know, some say, how can I understand that? Prabhupada say, don't try to understand it, just hear it. Just hear it. We cannot understand it. One time when Dayananda Maharaj was questioning Prabhupada about the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, how King Ugrasena has 33 trillion bodyguards. Ridiculous. Anyway, this is crazy. This proves that this is mythology and just stories only. But it doesn't necessarily mean 33. There's a vague terminology when figures like that. I mean, he has unlimited. You can't measure how many has so many. Sometimes use figures like that. But still a large number. Vast numbers. Vast numbers. So Prabhupada, you ask Prabhupada, well, how do we explain this to people? And Prabhupada said, you don't. You don't explain. Certain things that never can be understood by people in general. We have to understand that which is relevant. Prabhupada would not generally you get involved in questions which are beyond the eligibility of the query, of the inquirer, but rather you would change the subject matter regularly to a topic which was relevant to their situation, to prepare them so they can actually realize it themselves and understand it. The heart has to become softened. We cannot plant a seed in rock. The rock has to be softened first. People are like rock. Then what can you do? They can't hear. There's a barrier there, a block. So the barriers have to be removed. The rock has to be softened. The soil has to be softened in order to plant the seed. The Sankirtan, prasad distribution, many other ways of engaging people's hard-earned money in Krishna's service, and many other similar types of activities, helps to slowly soften their hearts. The Gyata Sukriti slowly softens their hearts. So they gradually become a little bit inquisitive. Now let me check it out, what's it about? Something may come up as the heart becomes a little soft. And then gradually they become a little bit more and more able to absorb. A little bit absorbent. Because they're already full, like a sponge which is full of water, cannot soak up any more. So their hearts are already full of material things. And there's no room, practically. So we have to summon another, through the media of their material attachments, we have to summon another, inject Krishna consciousness there. That they're very attached to eating, so through eating we inject Krishna consciousness. They like music and dance in that way also. They don't know what it's all about. Few of them are interested in philosophy. They may not understand it, but they might be interested to hear it. Maybe. One person the day was saying that they were amazed because they'd written religion off as being, nothing to learn from that, they were saying. But when they came across the devotee, then they suddenly realized, well, this is the first time they met a religious person who seems to have something I might be able to learn. They were scientists. So that in different ways you may inject something within people's conditioning, so they grab their conditioning gradually becomes purified. Their businessman show out of business for Krishna consciousness. Okay, well, we've been finished there. We have a lot of meetings and things today. So you had a question, Marco, and I don't know if I'm going to have yet. I should be able to answer this, and I don't know why Krishna is very kind. He's not actually. I've many times talked about it, Kshatrati, and I can't remember. Does anyone remember exactly what it is? I've talked about it many times. Yes, Michael.
Oh, now
I've got
another question.
Oh, no, let's finish one at a time, please. I mean, I can find out in 5 minutes, but I'd have to look on my computer. Krishna is the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. I can't remember. Other than the fact that it's a very auspicious day and a good day to start things. I just can't remember what the actual history of it is. The beginning of something to do with Krishna. Narayana. But 5 minutes only probably would take to find out, if that. Just press the words on my computer and up it will come. Because I've many times in the years gone by spoken about it. It's not something that really interests me particularly, but it's something which, because it's on the calendar, so you have to mention it. Otherwise, we should put the thing on the calendar. We put these things on the calendar. It's supposed to, for some purpose, it's supposed to be there, otherwise there's no point in putting it there. But then, what's the other ones on the calendar today? Chandanyatra? End of Chandanyatra? Start? Isn't it? Where's the end of Tulsi go? Yeah, well, the Chandanyatra is this time of the year. You know the story of Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri was being the Chandan for his Gopal deity, and then he stopped off in Ramuna, and the Chandan was used to massage Gopinath. So it was this time of the year. It's the summer, beginning of the summer season, when the Lord is very, very. It's starting to get really hot. You know how North India is at this time. It's getting really hot right now. The hottest time. And Chandan is naturally cools down. So every day during this period of time, The Lord is the massage for Vichanda and in Vrindavan and maybe Mayapur and a few other places. The dailies are daily covered in Chanda. You see pictures sometimes, beautiful. They look really beautiful, the beautiful kind of golden brown Chanda all over them. That's really amazing. And so there's festivals there for pleasure of the Lord. There are many different festivals there. Swing festival. They're all different times depending on the weather. You know, when there's no wind and or it's very hot, so on the swing festival, then we feel the wind blowing. Different festivals are there to bring pleasure to the Lord. This Chandan one is the hot summer. Basically, it's pretty much the hottest time of the year, May, in India. North India. So they have this Chandan festival this time of year. More I can say. I don't know if you do it here. Many temples do it in a small way. They just put a little bit of Chandan on the Lord. Is it starting or ending today?
Starting.
Starting. How long does it last?
20 days.
20 days, yes. The summer season is right in the middle of the summer. Months of May and beginning of June is the hot time. Okay, anything else? Yes, Michael.
You mentioned before about the cheaters and the cheated and the quality of the audience and the quality of the speaker. So, how about in this con? So you say that Krishna sends you cheating Maharaj.
Yeah, he sent me here. You just admitted your own weakness there. Yeah, you have to have a bit of intelligence. I mean, this does go on. Again, you know, I mean, there will be, you can say, our proneness to be cheated is there. It's not completely cheated because we've come to Prabhupada somehow or another. And within that there may be some, and let's say, shortcomings, faults. But you're cheating yourself if because of that you go away from Prabhupada, so to speak, or Krishna. Nobody can take you away from them. They may behave in such a way you can say, well, you know, that caused this and that caused that, but in reality, I mean, you come to Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara's lotus feet. So if somebody else has got another idea, we have to have at least a little bit of intelligence to see that. Otherwise we make it, at least we end it. But if we're sincere, it's not, practical experience. We've seen that many devotees, somebody did something, misbehavior, and some devotees took that as a reason to give up. So what can you do if you're very sincere? Other devotees, they stayed even despite that. It was difficult, no doubt. But they stayed on because they were attached to the Prabhupada. They had that, you know, faith in Srila Prabhupada, faith in the Bhagavatam, faith in the Parampara, like that. So they weren't cheated exactly. They were maybe partially misled, but not cheated. Listening to a speaker, and he was one.
He was a cheater.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be in that position, obviously. So there would be an element of that. I was reading this last night. Prabhupada was talking about one of his godbrothers who'd written so many books, and many people consider him a great authority. Prabhupada actually said, "Well, but what he said," he's almost quoting from this, "but what he said," Prabhupada said, "he was not a very advanced devotee. He made many blunders," he said. He made many blunders. He was a devotee, but he wasn't very advanced. So he's not a complete cheat, but he's, you know, going beyond his adhikar or his eligibility, so to speak, then it's not so good. So we should speak within our means and not try to go beyond it, you know what I mean? Within the level of one's adhikar. That's fine, that's not cheating. To speak, to repeat what you've heard from someone else is also not exactly cheating, but it may not be appropriate. That's what he was referring to, this particular devotee. What he said wasn't wrong, it just wasn't appropriate. You know, that wasn't the case. He was applying it to a situation where it wasn't the case. So, you know, it takes a little bit more maturity. So these things will go on, and sometimes we get a little bit, like I mentioned the other day, when that devotee came out of the class, I don't know if it was here or there, but somewhere. One devotee came out of the class, after the class, he said, I was in Brazil, but He came into to see me and said, I'm completely bewildered after someone just gave the class. And I was busy, I was in the kitchen, so I don't know where, somewhere else. And then they told me that the devotee just said, if you're feeling happy, you are in Maya. So he didn't explain it any further, you know. And that maybe no inquiry. Maybe no inquiry. So it's kind of like, maybe there's a statement like that, but it's not, it has to be qualified, you know. Otherwise you think any form of happiness means Maya. If you're smiling and Harinam, you're in Maya. You have to look miserable. No. Dancing, don't dance in kirtan, you should be morose. You should be morose. You know, you can take it like that, but that's not probably what the speaker meant, I doubt it. But didn't qualify, or at least if he did, the hearer didn't hear it. So, you know, it's like, what is relevant? So that's not so easy. So in that case, yes. Now, if someone's in a position of authority and they're not, it's like Prabhupada had his way of dealing with it. He said, there should be a forum where devotees can, you know, discuss without having any doubts about it, and it should be brought up. It shouldn't just be blindfolded. Then it becomes more important. So those sort of things that have happened in our experience, probably. Again, it's not by chance that such things are allowed to happen. There's a certain element within us that we're looking for some kind of, we're not really sure what we're looking for the wrong thing. Looking for somebody who's a, you know, whatever it may be, maybe a charismatic person, somebody who can, I don't have to think, I can just, you know, they can just, yeah, just don't have to worry anymore, it's all Guru Dev or whatever it is, I don't have to do my job anymore, whatever you say. And then when that doesn't work, then you don't know what to say, you haven't got anything left. You're like balloon having a pin poked in it or something. We have to fly our own kite as well. We can't be stupid. So we got our own blame as well involved there. Not by chance. But if it was sincere, even if some of these things do happen, you know, I mean, they have happened. We have blind eye these things. I mean, I was in England in 1979 when our Guru GBC or whatever started to do things that Guru's GBCs aren't supposed to do. And we weren't told about it until a little bit later, and we found out, you know, there were certain symptoms which were distinctly not the symptoms of one who's in the parampara discipline succession. So you have to have a little common sense, not that we're going to go around trying to find fault in every single body and say, I don't need to listen to them, I don't need to I can blaspheme them, because then they've not dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name, so I can blaspheme them. It's not against the offences. The offense says to blaspheme those who've dedicated their lives. If that guy's not dedicated his life, they can blaspheme him. You can go around like that, but that's what it means. You know, we can find fault in everything and everybody. But we've got to, nonetheless, we have to have some intelligence. When Prabhupada was talking to Giriraj Maharaj in the last few days in Vrindavan, he called Giriraj Maharaj in and he asked Giriraj Maharaj how this movement will carry on when he's gone. Giriraj Maharaj didn't like to hear that. I mean, obviously, it was like Prabhupada was basically saying, I'm leaving. And Giriraj Maharaj said, well, Prabhupada, I think if all your disciples are sincere, it will carry on. And he said, that's not enough. He said, you've got to have intelligence and organization. And there has to be there also. Intelligence must be there. We have to have some kind of intelligence. We can't just be, you know, zombies. As I said, in this movement is to try to create intelligently thoughtful brahmanas who can think for themselves but not separately from Krishna. Not that they have to be I have to have bubble all the time, you pass it over. One time I went to this temple, I didn't even know it was a Ritvik temple, if you know what that is. It was a long time ago in Hardwar. They were Ritvik. So I went there and I said, you know, can I stay? And I stay overnight. I said, oh, we're not sure about that. We'll have to phone up. And they had to phone up their so-called, they were supposed to be Ritvik, but they had to phone up. They couldn't do anything without asking the Swami who was in charge. They couldn't do anything. They could stay, I take prasadam, could take class. They had to phone up about everything. So, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. He was there, they're completely on him. We have to become a little bit responsible. A little bit responsible. To be able to see what is poison and what's not poison. Who's a doctor and who's not a doctor. Or to what degree the advice is of any value or it's not. But it's usually a mixture. We can't say that anyone's 100% necessary. We can't say that they aren't either. But maybe the devotee is not 100%. I'm certainly not 100% tuned in. I'm just speaking whatever comes. But sometimes it may be the devotee's got. Then they should, if you can test, if they're open to query or questioning, then they're probably eligible to move forward, and they're not going to get waylaid if they're smashing you down for making a point of sincere doubt or query. Then that's usually not a very good sign. Not usually a very good sign. If they're open to that, then it usually means that they are willing to accept that there's room for, we all got room for improvement and advancement. We're not selfish ourselves.
You were saying before about first preparing the ground with prasadam and holy names, and then philosophy. And when we distribute books in the street, we're giving first philosophy. So how will the people understand? Like if they get a Bhagavad Gita and they've never come in contact with it.
There's quite a few interesting points there, and it's a good point. Well, first of all, Prabhupada that's one of the reasons he emphasized that they should give something in return for the book. They get great benefit by giving something in return. Especially if they throw it away or they don't read it, they don't get so. They still get benefit by touching it, but they don't get much benefit. They get benefit. But if they give something, they get great benefit. And that's a great step forward. That's what Prabhupada did not like, free book distribution in general. Written about it many times. In certain circumstances he did, like in prisons, sometimes with poor, very, very poor people, but not as a general practice. So they get benefit when they give something for the book. That helps to make them eligible to receive the book, actually receive it. And another thing is that we're not just giving them philosophy in the book, they're getting Prabhupada. They're getting the association of Prabhupada. And they're getting so many other things too. Even if they don't want to enter into any of the philosophy or pass down anything, nonetheless, that book sits there, or they've touched it, they get some benefit from it. On top of that, that book many times happens, sits there, or goes to somebody else. It sits on their bookshelf, and they don't read it. But 30 years later, when some or another they're ready, they pick it up, and wow. This makes sense. They're ready. They weren't ready for 30 years, and this has happened many times already. And many times also, someone else, but with myself, that's how I came. First contact with Krishna consciousness. The people who've gotten Prabhupada's books were totally disinterested, and I found them literally in the garbage. And that's when I first came across Prabhupada's books. So they, somehow or another, it may not be that person directly, but that person also gets great benefit because knowingly or unknowingly, they've also assisted in passing on the message. And so there's many other, they may not philosophy have any interest whatsoever, and they may be double dutch, as we say to them. But time either will come to them, will come sooner or later, or to somebody else. They just become purified by the activity itself. These are bombs, time bombs, probably we call them time bombs sometimes. They don't go off immediately, they go off in time. They all have their purpose. And this is what really, everything else is preparation, this is really planting the seed. This is what really plants the seed. Injection, transcendental knowledge. Very, very. They go together, they should always go together. Harinam, Sankirtan and book distribution go very well together, Prabhupada said, because the Harinam softens the heart and creates a very nice atmosphere, and it's easier for the books to penetrate or to be distributed. Okay, I've got to finish here because we do have a meeting and a couple of things to do, and I will look up for Mahatma. What is Akshaya Tritiya? Maybe you already know, maybe you can tell us. Sometimes you ask questions for everyone's benefit, for me, or for my benefit in this case. What is it? You know what it is?
Okay, I just
Oh, you got this one. Yeah, that we heard.
Actually, Tritya is the first day of Chandra.
Oh, that's all it says.
Huh?
Yes. Oh, that's
and the second part is what you said, it's a very special day to start.
I do believe there's a little bit more to it, if I'm not mistaken. I did research it. That's probably on the in the BTG or something.
Krishna.com.
Yeah, they take it in the BTG. You'll see that there. We're going to go a little further. I may be wrong, but I'm feeling there's a little bit more to it than that. Something pastime or some kind. Yeah, not so important. Prabhupada never mentions, as far as I know, in terms of that. For this, you have to go to Google Guru. Google Guru knows more than any other guru that I know today. He's very, very learned. He follows the regulated principles perfectly, I think, I hope. I don't fall down, and maybe you should approach Google Guru for I want to take initiation from Google Guru. Google Goswami. Make your pronounce on Vishnu Padaya. Srimati Google Goswami. Prabhupada says you don't make a spiritual master in the air. Spiritual master, Prabhupada, in his own words, has to be concrete. That doesn't literally mean concrete.
Yeah.
But it means he has to be, you know, physically present. That's the meaning of concrete. It's Prabhupada's words. You can't take Prabhupada's words away. That's what he said. You don't make a guru in the air. A guru has to be made concrete, which means physically present. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.